ladies and gentlemen.
Love Talk Radio.
Live as we go out on the air, this is Brother Tony Bullock, Sister Eileen Reed, and the Reverend Floyd Harris Jr. Listen and learn. Listen and learn.
All right. Good evening, everyone. You're with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We are broadcasting here from Fresno, California, the Golden West Side. That's right, the Golden West Side. Edison Tigers, even though I went to Washington Union, but, you know.
We will not hold it again.
I went to Washington Union. You know, they used to call us the Onion. Edison did. And until we played them in the Sullivan Arena, that's a show what time it was. But anyway.
Right now. I wonder what year that was.
Was so we had the Panthers versus the Tigers. So, you know, everybody was a rivalry, you know. But we just going to have a good show tonight. We have a lot of things going on right now. We just want to give shout-outs to all the freedom fighters across the world. Those that I know in Chicago and Oakland and Uncle Bobby and everyone that, you know, L.A. and just everywhere, you know. This is Black History Month, it's the 25th, you know, but I want to give this disclaimer that we're black 365 days out the year. We 24 hours out the day that we're black folk. African-Americans, however what title you want to put on it, we're from the motherland. And, you know, we just, you know, just appreciative of our ancestors right now who paved the way for us to be here today. I think that we, you know, have a moral obligation to keep things going, so that, you know, our children that come after us will understand that someone paid a price. You know, someone paid a price for us to be here. And we have to pay the price for those that come after us. And so, again, it's Black History Month, but understand that you're black 365 days out the year. Yes, we highlight, you know, February, but, you know, I highlight every month, you know, because, you know, injustice just don't happen just on one month. It happens out 12 months out of the year. So, like I said, we just want to just give our thumbs up to everybody. And, you know, there's many, especially the women. There were many women who did not even get their recognition when it came to the struggle. Even today, there's people who that I know, you know, people like Maria Els, who just working tirelessly in the community day in, day out. But yet, you know, no one has given her an award, you know. So, you know, people like Aline Reed, you know, who's been a pillar of this community for many, many years, you know, no one has given her an award, you know. And so, but I just want to give them their flowers while they're here. They are here. I'm going to call this my studio, okay? How about that? This is my studio. So I'm going to show y'all who's in my studio.
You're right.
All right, this is who's in my studio tonight, y'all. Okay, you see, I got my little light fall in the back, my little whole dog on the couch over there, you know. So this is my studio. So, you know, this is where we do it. This is how organizing starts in the home. Grassroots organizing starts in the home. Starts with two or three people. You know, that's how Dr. King did it. But I think somewhere down the line, I told someone today that we need to have a show. I'm trying to remember what I called it. Then I said, "What happened to Black Fresno?" I think that was the title I had.
Okay.
What happened to Black Fresno? Because right now, Fresno, the black community is in terrible trouble right now. We're in terrible shape. We're working on a project right now. Trying to identify, not trying, we are, identifying all the black businesses that we had in this community from the 50s all the way up till today. My father, you know, owned Floyd Exxon or Martin Luther King and Fig, you know, call it Fig now. But I mean, call him Martin Luther King now, but it was Fig and Jensen. And so, you know, what happened to all of our religious leaders? What happened to all of our black pastors that, you know, we were doing research on Dr. King? He was here in 1964. And there was a lot of clergymen out there with Dr. King. You know, what happened to that movement of our clergy? You know, I know we're in a different era now, but something happened. Something happened in Fresno that we have lost. I'm trying to find. Y'all help me out. We have lost what? We have lost.
Lost our way. Lost our vision.
We have lost our vision in our community here. We have no black businesses. I mean, I'm talking about just bringing us a real economic type of conversation. So we're going to be having those conversations here on this show, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. The call-in number is 516-387-1474. I apologize. Maybe I'll type that up on the screen here real quick. 516-387-1474. Please share this topic tonight. Many of you know that I'm running for mayor of Fresno. There's a lot of conversation, pros and cons, on Facebook about me running. I am representing all people. Let me just say that. I'm representing all people, but I am a black man. I guess, let me see, so y'all know that I'm black. I am black. Okay, all right, y'all see that. But I represent all people. And a mayor has to do that. He has to be concerned of, he or she has to be concerned about the entire city, not just one side of the city. But our past mayors only been worried about one side of the city, which is North Fresno. And I think that we have to understand that if one part of the city is sick, the whole city is sick. It makes no sense for South or West Fresno to continue to have, took us, what, 30 years or 40 years to get a shopping center. But you look at River Park, it's just booming. You look at Southeast, it's just booming. You know, so we're dealing with environmental racism also. We're dealing with a darling plant that's over here that's cooking dead animals every day. And we're dying over here. We have police brutality that's going on here in Fresno. You know, our police department has turned into a bunch of gangsters right now. And it starts from the mayor office down, because that mentality of that mayor is an influence on everybody else through that each department, directors, and et cetera. And so what we've been dealing with right now in this city, we have been dealing with some gangster mentality. And it's time for the people to take to step up, to have a voice, to be heard. They're taxpayers. And we have to hold our people in elected office accountable. And I'm even talking about myself right now, because if you're going to hold me accountable, you better be darn right. I'm going to hold you accountable. So when it's time to come to meetings, I don't hear nothing about, oh, my feet hurt, my back hurt. But yet, when I'm running for office, you want to throw everything, the brick, the tub, the sink, the stove at me. Yeah. But yet I've been out here for over 30 years in the community, in the trenches, not making no excuses, not charging people to help them. But all of a sudden now, all this conversation about is Harris qualified? Mm. Really, am I qualified? So what I'm going to ask you all of you, if you will, before you pass judgment on me, go do your research. It was once upon a time in America that it said, if you want to hide something from a Negro, put it in a book. So we have social media now. We have all this stuff now. So, you know, when we send you information about our platform, many people have been asking for it. We send it to you, then all of a sudden you don't want to read it. Well, then don't ask for it if you don't want to read it. Okay? Because that's the bottom line. We spend our time to give you a first-class mayor run with first-class information, first-class content. I'm hearing people talk about we don't have a team. We have a great team. We have a beautiful team of people. We have a core team of people. We have people walking the community. We have people. We have not just people, but we have youth involved. And that's one thing that I always tell, even in my Freedom School, that some of you may know or may not know, is that I have a school, and I'm always working with youth. And with this mayor race, the youth are involved. You know, then I'm hearing this conversation about progressive. I'm trying to, Arlene, you have to help us with this word progressive. It seems like everybody's grabbing a hold of the word. Oh, I'm progressive. I'm progressive. I'm progressive. And I'm like, what in the world does progressive mean now? It seems like everybody's just jumping on it. I'm progressive. I'm progressive. But then I'm saying, okay, well, if you're progressive, then show us your works.
Exactly.
Where have you, what are you doing? And we're going to get more into that conversation, but I just want to give that disclaimer out there real quick that everybody, please go and research Google. We have the technology now. Go to YouTube. Look at the work. You know, we have a website. Anybody want to give the website name real quick? Anybody? Harris for Mayor. I mean, how simple can it get? Harris for Mayor. It's not long, you know, this long
string.
It's just Harris for Mayor. That's it. And boy, you click on it and boom, it's first class. And that's how we want to be able to serve our community with excellence and first class. And that's what we've been giving our community. And so I just want to say thank you to all of those across the world, all across the country. I have met people who told me that they haven't voted in 65 years. Mm. And the only reason they're voting now is because they said I inspired them. And so that was touching to me to see that someone has never voted. They're 65 years old. And they said, I inspired them. And that's what we're talking about. You know, we all have a purpose in this life. And now I'm calling a young lady. She said, well, I guess a person 65 could be a young lady. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that young lady, 65 years old, you know, she's out doing voter registration now. You know, I mean, she was getting a ballot initiative signed. So that's what we want. We want people to get engaged. We want people to get involved. You know, no more excuses. Okay. Mm-hmm. No more excuses. All right. Do what you got to do to help your people, no matter what nationality is, get involved. And be someone that's like, hey, you know, I care about my community. So, but we're going to go. There's one of my guests in my studio, broadcasting out of the Golden West Side of Fresno. We're live. We got people right now on live from Atlanta, Georgia. We got folks from Fresno. We got folks from L.A. We got folks from New York. We got folks on the screen here. I mean, the screen is lit up like a Christmas tree right now because people are concerned about Little Fresno and what's going on here. People have lived here and they have moved away, but they still have family here, right? And so they're concerned about what's going on in Fresno. I am a product of West Fresno and Fresno, but from West Fresno. Proud of it. And I'm going to fight for West Fresno just as well. I'll fight for the entire Fresno. But we have to understand what's been going on in Fresno. It's been a one-sided teeter-totter. And those days are going to change right now once I become elected mayor of Fresno, because we all going to have skin in the game. We all going to be at the table. Bring your pillow. Bring your washcloth, your toothbrush, because we got work to do up here in Fresno, okay? I mean, if anybody know me, I'm about action. I ain't about a bunch of talk. Yeah. I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of going to meetings with people, hearing the same old rhetoric again over and over. Oh, we want to see some businesses coming to West Fresno. We want to see Fresno be equal across the board from north to south. That's what we're about. So if you want to know what I'm about equality. You want to know what Harris is about? He's about justice. You want to know what Harris is about? He's about liberation for all people. And all so right, we're going to go ahead and have everybody introduce themselves. And so let's start with my brother over here. All right. All right. Tell us what you're doing, too, while you're over there.
Well, good evening. My name is Tony Bullock. Long time West Fresno resident. I've been away. Now I'm back. What I'm actually sitting here doing tonight is I'm also recording and putting this out on my blog for later. It's called West Side Speaks. And for those of us who have been here in Fresno for a while, in and out, we know it has always been a one-way road in the city of Fresno. West Side has forever been neglected, and it is time for it to come into the light, step into the 21st century. with the rest of the city. It is time out to keep being left behind. Unfortunately, it has been the design of those in power here. So it is time to move forward.
All right. And our next. Woo, I can't wait to hear her talk. Man.
Okay, well, that's a hard act to follow. Okay. We come from the same high school, from the same elementary school. So Carver Elementary,
yeah,
Irwin Junior High, Edison High School from the Golden West Side. My name is Aline Reed, and like my brother here, I was born in Fresno, raised partly in San Francisco, and then back in Fresno. And I have been an activist in Southwest Fresno since I was 18 years old. I'm 61 now, so you get the drift of how many years many of us have been out here. And I am a Black progressive, and for those of you who don't know what a progressive is, is usually left of center. We are not interested in doing the same stuff, expecting different outcomes. We want change. We want progress. We want equality. And that's what a progressive is. And there are a lot of people claiming to be progressive. They're claiming to be West Fresno progressives. But if you really want to talk about West Fresno progressive, four of them are sitting in this room right now.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Here is our, this is my campaign manager right here. She's up on everything, every issue, answering everybody's question and trying to make everybody happy on social media. So tell us a little bit about you, why you're here, what you're doing.
My name is Maria Els, and born and raised in Southwest Fresno, and I have worked with youth and families in the community for 26 years, well, 27 years now. So I understand intimately the different obstacles and challenges we face in Southwest Fresno compared to other parts of Fresno. And it was a post with someone saying, you know, why would he just focus on Southwest Fresno? You know, there's other parts of Fresno. So I gave an analogy of four patients going to the hospital. One patient has a sprained finger. Another patient has a broken arm. The third patient has a fever. And the fourth patient has an open wound that, from a cut that's bleeding out. Who is that doctor going to see first?
Person bleeding
should be that person that's bleeding, and that's what Southwest Fresno have been doing. Mm. It's bleeding out, and we have had, and then about qualified, they're bleeding out, but we've had mayor after mayor after mayor who has neglected to treat that wound, who has neglected to help that wound heal.
That's it.
And so, why wouldn't a good mayor? Why wouldn't they want to concentrate on the most neglected part of the city?
Mm-hmm.
So that's right. Where we come from. We come from the heart. We are for all of Fresno, but we want all of Fresno to be healthy. We want all of Fresno to look good. You shouldn't go from despair in one part of the city and drive 20 minutes up and it looks like a whole nother.
Okay.
So the mayors, regardless of win or lose, we will be putting pressure on any mayor, including Reverend Harris, who is up for that type of pressure and accountability, who will be making sure they all address the wound that needs to be treated
first and foremost. Yes.
All right. There you go. There you go. Boy, there you,
yes, sir.
We about to get this party started here. Okay, so we have a special guest online tonight, a good friend of mine who I met unfortunately during his brother being killed. And being killed in Fresno is really the norm here in Fresno. Brother Centennial, his brother name was Freddie Centennial, who was gunned down, murdered here in Fresno. You know, there were some conversations about me. People said that, you know, Harris only cares about the West Side. He doesn't go to the East Side. He doesn't go to the North Side. And so, you know, Brother Centennial lives in Southeast Fresno. He asked me would I lead, have a prayer vigil at his home where I met his family, and the community came out, and I led a march to the location where his brother was assassinated. And so tonight I'm going to kind of warn everyone that the video that you're about to see, as they say on TV, graphic, but it's something that you need to see because you need to understand why we need to reform the Fresno Police Department mentality, the way they approach people. Just because you approach someone doesn't mean that they're a criminal. Just because you approach someone could have a mental illness doesn't mean you pull out your gun and gun them down like they some kind of hog or something in the wild. And that's what we're dealing with right now here in Fresno. And so before he comes on, I'm going to go ahead and play this video so that you all can see what we're dealing with here in Fresno. So bear with me one second. What you see now is the police officers in the car getting ready to jump out of the car. So I'm going to go ahead and play. I'm going to play it a couple of times so that maybe I can cut this light off just for a second so that not, I think it's this one. So I'm going to go ahead and play it now. Oh, I have this light on. That's what the problem is. Okay. Oh, it looks like I'm messing up here. Okay. All right. Okay, there we go. All right. So here we go. Cut that light off there. Make sure everyone get a good view. It's just a little switch right there. All right. Okay. Here we go. More time.
Hey, Fresno PD. Get on the ground. Get on the ground. Hey, Fresno PD. Get on the ground. Get on the ground.
Okay, we can cut the lights back on. Brother Centennial, are you there?
Yes, sir, Pastor. I'm right here.
You know, I know this must be hard for you to hear the gunshots, to see the body cams of your brother I know that you spent a lot of time at his grave. I know that something that you just don't get over. Kind of walk us through what happened and where you're at right now with everything.
Well, the case with my brother is that he was mentally ill, right? And we were trying to get help for him. We've been asking the city to help us to maybe get him into a program, get him some help with his mental issues, you know. And the city kept denying us for 6-7 years. They kept saying that he wasn't bad enough. He wasn't there yet to where they could help us with maybe getting him some help. And I kept telling them, well, what needs to happen? And they kept telling us, well, something bad needs to happen. I asked them, what do you mean, like, well, he needs to do something bad so we could get some help for him. And that day, while he was having a mental breakdown, and he went out walked around in our neighborhood, and somebody thought that he had a weapon, and he had nothing. Yeah. And that's when you hear in the video, he had no weapon. He was, and but see, my main thing is, my brother was mentally ill. Do people not get that? He was mentally ill. He needed help, not bullets. Help. So what happens now? My brother's gone. My brother's dead. So are they trying to even, have they even apologized? No. They haven't even, we're sorry for what happened to your brother. Nothing. Not a single apology from Fresno police, from the city of Fresno. So that's where we're at now.
So basically, what I seen on the video is that your brother was just walking down the street, and the police rolled up on him and jumped out of the car and told him to get on the ground. And he looked at startled, like, what's going on? And within 5 seconds, they shot, 10 bullets or?
They shot 13 bullets and nine bullets hit him. So they missed four. So they guys shot him 13 times, but 9 of them hit him. And 3 of those shots were to his back. When he was falling down, they still kept shooting, and they shot him on his back. How is that justified? It's beyond, wow, it's beyond. I mean, even a federal judge says that my brother's case needs to be settled by a jury. But what happens with the city? They keep fighting us. We already went to the Ninth Circuit. Ninth Circuit says that we need to go to trial. So now hopefully in September we have a trial for my brother's case. Hopefully.
So what did former Jerry Dyer say when these officers killed your brother? What did he have to say?
Well, in the first interview that they interviewed him, he played the video, but we already had the video. You know, I can't say how we got it. We already had the video, the video of my brother getting shot by police. Well, when we brought up the lawsuit, he brought up the video, and he slow framed the video to where he's saying, look at him, he's pulling up his hand. He's pulling his hand like if he was going to shoot the officers. Okay, now you tell me, Pastor, the two officers that shot him were in an unmarked car. It was a regular car. They were plain clothes, undercover officers, and my brother's mentally ill. How was he supposed to know they were the police, right? And they gave him less than 5 seconds to raise his hand. Didn't they say on the video, hands up, police? 5 seconds. Come on, not even a person that doesn't have mental issues could probably raise his hands in 5 seconds. It brings back memories, you know, bad memories. It was just unjustified.
Yeah, I do know that your situation is this, unfortunately, what happened to your brother happens a lot in Fresno. And it's like, shoot first, ask questions later. And I've always asked the question, if someone has not shot at you, why are you shooting at someone? That's the chance that police officers take when they join the force. But what happens in Fresno is that it's always justified. I don't even think we had a police officer ever prosecuted, have we?
In Fresno,
a police-involved shooting, and we've had more people in this community unarmed shot, and the excuse is, well, I felt threatened for my life. Oh. Well, hell, the person you're shooting at, how are they supposed to feel? They the one getting hit by the bullets that you're shooting them with.
Yes, exactly. I mean, there's even rules of engagement in war, right? You go to another country, you go to war, the rules of engagement is do not shoot until they shoot at you, right? That's what I heard. If you're a soldier, you can't shoot at your enemy until they start shooting at you.
Right.
So why is it different with the police? It's just injustice for the black and brown community. To me, it's just big injustice. Yes, there's have been some white folks killed too, you know, but it's mainly black and brown folks.
That's right, brother.
Exactly, and that's you know, my brother, you know, running for mayor, you know, and that's part of our platform is to retrain these cats, you know. I mean, I really have I think that the police officers that want to do the right thing. But at the same time, we have police officers that's not doing the right thing and not being held accountable to a higher standard. And it's like we here's the crazy part. We're paying for it. We're paying to be massacred. We're paying to be killed. We're paying to be murdered. So it's like, you know, so the community like yourself, we have to stand up. We have to, you know, and keep your story alive in the minds of people here. You know, and that's why I brought you on the show tonight, because, you know, people said, well, Harris, you know, he only concerns about West Fresno. I've been to Southeast Fresno. Matter of fact, I marched all through Fresno. My footprints is everywhere in this city. Just take a magnifying glass, you'll see my footprint everywhere in this city, marching for justice and equality and freedom for all people. But all people is not concerned about what happened to your brother. It's like people don't get involved until it happens to them.
Exactly.
But then we have an opportunity to get involved, but we find every reason not to get involved. You must have did something wrong. Or why to do that? Well, they do it all the time.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, dealing with the, you know, your case here in Fresno, you know, I try to encourage my African African-American community folks get involved, you know, and other people and other race concerns about police brutality. You know, we do October 22nd every year down there at the courthouse, you know, and it seems like it's less and less people coming every year, you know.
Yeah.
But again, until something happened to you, then you want everybody to come running to you. But then when other people are having problems, we just don't see people having a concern of other folk, you know. I mean, just like, you know, Marie Else, you know, her situation with her son at Hoover High School, you know. And we're gonna get to and talk to her right now. But, you know, we really, really, really want to support you. You know, I support you. People around me that rolls with me support you. My church support you. And speaking of churches, since I said churches, you know, I don't know what done happened to churches in America now. We've come so commercialized to where, you know, we don't, I don't want to say we don't care, but when Dr. King was here, you seen many churches, many pastors out in the street, many pastors protesting, standing for something. What happened to Fresno? That's the question that we're going to have a show. What has happened to Fresno? Because we are in desperate need of leadership here in this city. So I'm going to turn it to the floor right now to see some questions we may have out here. So what do you all think about this Fresno Police Department? You know, I call them gangsters. They think they're gangsters now, but when I become mayor, they're going to be servants.
Well, unfortunately, what you have is decades of police abuse that had been allowed to take place, run rampant under the different administrations that came through the city of Fresno. Mm. And always started at the top. You know, they always say it rolls downhill. Okay, well, we know it rolls downhill. But the thing about it is, if the mayor's office is not looking at the things that are going on, they will continue to happen. Sure. This is 2020. How can you have all the police shootings we have over decades, and I'll go back to when I was in high school, from 75 to 77. There were several people who lost their lives. But not one officer was ever indicted, ever brought up on charges. This has been happening in the city of Fresno, especially to minorities. And nothing has ever been done. No one has even really spoke on it. And here we are, 2020. This issue still is not being addressed. Now, I'm quite sure in the next couple of weeks you're going to see guys like Dyer, Jance, who is the friend of people of color. Mm. All of a sudden, everybody's going to come out with a statement of, well, I'm here for everybody. But as we all know, certain people have already said, well, I profile them anyway. So how are you going to profile me but then turn around and tell me you in my corner? Hey, like they used to tell me back in the day, that dog don't hunt. Because you can't profile me and be in my corner. Some of the water don't compute. It ain't right.
That's right.
So, Allen, you came during the Black Panther era, and you seen a lot went on in Oakland with Huey P. Newton and, you know, the slaughter of the Black Panther Party. What is there? Do you see a connection between today and back in the 1960s?
Actually, I do. And people need to understand, when you talk about reading and knowing their history, the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense came about because of police brutality. They were the original cop watch in America. They would stop if they saw a person of color getting stopped by the police. They'd take down badge numbers, names, the numbers on the cars, you know, they're documenting the time, because the slaughter of Black people was going unanswered. no accountability, by people in power. And the same exact thing is happening in Fresno. And I'm trying to figure out why black and brown and Asian people are not out in the street. Because believe me, it's only going to get worse. Think about it, Fresno, for those of you who are comfortable. Fresno is the worst, has the worst per capita poverty in the nation. We have the most police killings in the nation. We're one of the worst. The lifespan for black people is 20 years less than in North Fresno. So I asked you, police brutality is just a symptom. It's not the whole cause of our problem, but it is a symptom. And why? Because the police know that they can kill, shoot and kill with impunity, and nobody is going to hold them accountable for it. They've already proven that.
So why is it that Fresno? Okay, so when we look at Jerry Dyer, who's our chief 20-something years, I guess, and he has this like gangster mentality,
right?
And he's been able to buy off pastors,
mm-hmm.
buy off black organizations.
Mm-hmm.
He's been able to silence certain people,
right?
And it's like,
well,
if you didn't know the history of Fresno,
right.
You would think Fresno Police Department is like the model police department in the world, but it's not.
And it's not, because before Dyer, you had people like Ed Winchester. Well, after Ed Winchester comes, here comes Jerry Dyer, who's cut from the same mold. This is a man who has been sued by his lieutenants for discriminatory behavior. This is a man who came up through the ranks. He knows the system. He knows the good old boys. He knows where all the bodies are buried, figuratively and literally. And so he knows how to go to people and put the finger on them. And people are going to say, oh, well, you know, he found God and he's this great guy. Really? Then why are so many black and brown bodies in the street? I'm just asking. I'm an old dog from the 60s and 70s, and we have to speak truth to power. If I can't do anything else, if I got to die, I might as well die speaking the truth and not hide. And all these people who allow themselves to get bought off, like the California Advocate and Mark Kimber, who, by the way, I delivered a letter to the editor today, and he called me and said, oh, well, there was people being shot and killed. You know, we were getting 4 or 5 calls a week at the Advocate, and Jerry Dyer came in and fixed all that. And I said, Mark, that's their damn job. That's what the police are supposed to do, to stop violence, if they can. But what happens, as my friend Tony Bullock will say, they use Southwest Fresno and the U and the dog pound as their hunting ground. And that is the legacy that Fresno PD has in Southwest Fresno. And if somebody does not believe it, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't think I am.
So we have Maria Ellis, whose son was, I would say, tortured, brutalized, humiliated, first day of school, and until this day, I believe that. He's traumatized. And when you come, when you have a situation with the police, with a police officer, and it's unjustly, you never be the same again. I mean, you just, even when you see a police car, when you just see one walking, or it just, you go back to what happened to you, and you don't know, you just freeze. I mean, even my children right now, when the, you know, police pulled us over and had us at gunpoint and called the SWAT team and had the car surrounded, and We were just having car trouble. That's all. We were just having car trouble. And he's training another lady. That's the other problem. We have bad cops training other cops.
Mm.
And he just called back up and had the entire car surrounded. And until this day, my daughter is 28. My son is 20. They are still traumatized behind that incident with barking dogs and, you know, guns pointed in the car. And so when we start talking about police brutality, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. I'm 49 years old, and I don't even like driving at night in Fresno because it's your word against their word. And who you think is going to win?
Exactly.
Who you think's going to win? Yeah, I'm a pastor, so what? I'm a civil rights leader. Big deal. We the cops. We the judge, jury, and executor. That's the mentality that we are going to change in our campaign when it comes to becoming mayor of Fresno. Police are supposed to be public servants. Yes, you're supposed to protect yourself if you're in danger. But if Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder, who we know is legally blind, cannot see someone pull a gun and you shoot them and they didn't have a gun, then that police officer should be brought up on charges.
Exactly.
Period. In a discussion. I don't want to hear no more about I felt threatened. Well, if you're a police officer and you feel threatened by somebody just making a move, we don't pay you to think. We pay you to know, period. And if we can't pay you to know, then maybe you don't need to be a police officer.
That's right.
And maybe go work for Parks and Rec or milk truck, something. But you cannot keep continuing to take black and brown people lives in this community anymore and think you're not going to be held accountable. See, that's the problem I have with Andrew Jans, who's running for mayor, because it seems like he's the only one that can get on a stage with Dyer, but yet he's not asking any questions for the people. So how in the hell in the world you think that I'm going to tell my people to support someone like Andrew Jans, who is the Fresno Bee, the number one and two contenders from their perspective? But yet you're not asking questions that affect black and brown people. But you want to represent us.
Mm-hmm.
See, put me on the stage with Dyer and Jan. And that's the problem right now. Because this whole mayor race has been orchestrated to keep Floyd Harris off the stage. That's the problem with this race here. Because Jan is not going to ask the questions that needs to be asked that represent the people of this community.
Yeah, no, he's going to ask the questions he was told to be asked.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the problem here. Mm-hmm. And so our campaign, we're not going to stop. We're going to keep moving forward. And if we do come short, you best to believe whoever becomes mayor, we're going to be on them like white on rice. It's not going to be never an easy day in office because we are tired of burying our children.
We
are tired of burying our friends' children. And you're dealing with a people that is not scared. And you're dealing with a bunch of people here in my camp circle that's going to hold people accountable.
Very much so.
So understand that, because my friend here, Centennial, he's still hurting right now. He's in pain. His brother should have died in 5 seconds with no gun. That's unacceptable. So Fresno, doing all they can to silence me in their arena. But you see, tonight we're speaking. So if you want real change, and you want real accountability, And you want to hold police officers accountable for their actions? Because I'm sick and tired of this, we go shoot somebody, and then you get to go home on administrative leave with pay, go on a vacation and go to the lake, and we have a grieving family over here asking for answers. No, you need to be out there washing cars or something.
I get paid to hunt.
But you're going to get paid to massacre our children. Them days is over with now. So, Fresno, you do the best you can to try to make sure I don't become mayor. But you're dealing with some real warriors right now that love people. We love people, and we want justice for everybody, including our police officers. We're not excluding our police officers. But police officers have to understand that they're not above the law. And that's what's been happening here in Fresno, is that they are above the law because of a Jerry Dyer. And we have not had one police officer prosecuted in this city, not one time. Not one time. And so now we're going to exchange the chief of police for a DA. No, it's not happening right now. We're going to go to our next guest here, who is Marie Elts. We're going to go ahead and play this video here. I'm going to tell everyone that watch it. You know, come up with your own understanding of what you're about to see here, because this is real stuff that we're dealing with right now. We're going to go ahead and play this real quick.
Let him go. Hey, cuz.
I do not
roll.
Get
on the ground. I do not roll. Get on the ground. I do not roll. Get on the ground. I do not roll. Get on the ground now. Get on the ground. Black lives matter. Hey.
He's not resisting. What the fuck you mean? Black lives matter, motherfucker. He's not resisting. This shit is fucked up. What the fuck you mean? This is my whole boy. What the fuck you mean to resist? You got me fucked up.
Step
this nigga's fucking with him, bro.
Get
off my nigga.
Step back.
Get off of my nigga.
Hey, bro, get off my head, bro.
Get off of me. He can't breathe.
Back up.
He can't breathe.
Back him up.
Hey, bitch. What the fuck out? Motherfucker's gonna hit me with a fucking bike, bitch.
Back up! Back up!
Bitch, don't fucking kick me!
Back up!
Break your fucking nose!
Back up!
Kick me again, motherfucker! I'll break your fucking nose!
Oh, pop my dog!
Look! They're fucking little kids!
They're fucking, he's a high school student! He's a high school, student!
You hear me? I just back!
He's a high school student and they're fucking with us! What the fuck? Oh,
nigga.
Oh, bitch. I'll clean your bitch ass. Walk the fuck out. Nigga, you ain't gonna fucking catch me, bitch.
Oh, hell no. He called my dad, sir.
What's his number, bro?
Okay, so we are going to go back to our show. I apologize that Facebook always cuts me off.
Running from the truth.
Like right in the middle of
running from the truth.
The situation. So, to kind of give a little history from what I know, when this happened, one of the things that people have to understand about me is that, and I'm surprised, you know, looking at social media, looking at people responses about my loyalty to my community, is that when something happens to anybody, I'm there. You don't have to call me. I'm looking for you. And when you hear this story, you'll see what I mean by I'm there. What you just witnessed was a young man who was still traumatized behind the situation. The police officer, you know, was choking him with his own backpack, just choking him where he couldn't breathe. And on the first day of school, again, we have police officers in this town that feels that they run this town like some type of plantation, like Bull Connor, you know, in Alabama. And that mentality has to stop. You know, this kid, he didn't have a gun. He didn't have a weapon. You know, he's a kid. Kids are going to be kids. And, you know, we have to have officers that has to understand that you don't always have to be a bully all the time and throw your weight around. Just treat people with dignity and respect. That's all.
That's
the hardest thing for this government here in Fresno, is to treat people with dignity and respect. Now, I understand why they don't, is because it comes from the mayor's office. Whatever mentality that mayor has, that's what everyone else is going to have in a department. And so what we witness here today, you can go to YouTube and look at that footage. Hoover High School. Hoover High School. You can put in Keyshawn. What's his name? Keyshawn.
Just Hoover student
jaywalks. Hoover student jaywalks. Just put that in, and you'll see for yourself. And so this is the mom right now who I was looking for about a couple of days. telling her that I'm going to put on a town hall meeting so that she could tell her version of the story. And how we ran into each other is just pretty ironic. Maria, tell us what happened that day. I know it's every time you hear this, I see your face. I know the pain you're going through. But this is what I do, is to give the voiceless a voice, to give the hopeless some hope, and give them a platform where they can talk about what took place. And we had a town hall meeting at my church that you didn't even know that I was doing until someone told you. Mm-hmm. Have the floor. Tell us what happened with your son in this situation.
First day of school in the morning, about 30 minutes before school start, son just want to walk across the street to the Valero's, get something to drink. He was getting ready to cut the corner into the crosswalk. The officer asked him to go around and go through the crosswalk. He went around. He jogged through the crosswalk to beat the blinking hand, which he did, according to the video cam footage that we saw in court, juvenile court. And the officer drove to the other side of the crosswalk. And my son and the young man who was recording, they walk across the street. The officer meets him at the curb, orders him to sit down. Within 4 seconds, the officer initiated physical contact with my son. My son pleaded out, "What did I do wrong? I did what you asked me to do." A lot of people look at the video and they say, "Well, he didn't do what the officer asked him to do." Yes, he did. Initially, he obeyed the officer's orders. And he went through the crosswalk without cutting through the crosswalk. This is still over a line. My son never committed a crime. Mm-hmm. He did commit a crime where he should have been humiliated by being sat on the ground on the first day of school in the morning. Mm-hmm. I know I sent my son to school healthy, mentally, physically, emotionally healthy. And 7 hours later, before school ended, my son was traumatized. Mm. He was brutalized. Mm. He was physically hurt. He was psychologically damaged. So I sent my son to school healthy, and because an officer had some kind of thing about authority and thinking that you should be able to demand folks or make somebody or humiliate someone, and they should not do anything but let you. My son came back, and he's never been the same. So they killed a part of my son. They may not have killed him physically, but they killed a part of my son that day. They killed a part of my family that day. These officers that I entrusted to look out and make sure my kid wasn't damaged,
right.
Damaged him.
No good reason.
And so he was taken to the hospital after I said quite a few words, because I'm pretty sure one day that's going to surface how it cuts those officers up and down. So my son was taken to the hospital because he did have injuries. He still has back pain because he was basically hogtied and choked at the same time by two officers. And they refused to let me in to the hospital, but they did not refuse to let the arresting officer sit there and interrogate my son and intimidate my son for over an hour. Mm. And this officer not only was able to sit next to the bedside of my son, he was able to get his other officers in on it to mock my son and to make my son feel as if he... really, I just think it was to scare him and shut him up. We're dealing with a corrupt police department that does function as a gang, and they function as a violent gang. And if you dare be bold enough to go up against them, then they're going to use any kind of intimidation tactics that they can, for anything from brutally beating you to killing you. So But we don't come from a family. He may have been traumatized, but we don't come from a family where we practice fear. And I don't fear anybody but God. So I'm not afraid to speak up. So a long story short, we had to go to 15 court dates. We had the public defender who tried to get him to take a plea deal. Mm-hmm. It's not a secret for anybody that's been locked up or arrested that what they do is that these prosecutors and these public defenders and these judges and these officers and these Smith camps and all that go into these rooms and they make deals.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they do.
Okay, and they'll make a deal off of a false report, which we found out that in the adjudication process with the juvenile court, we found out that this officer had falsified several details mm-hmm. in his report, according to the body cam footage that came out.
Wow.
So why can't I trust a Jans, even though he may be a nice person? I can't trust a Jans because a Jans is in there making those deals too.
That's right.
And he's gonna continue to make those deals
yep.
if he becomes mayor.
Yeah.
So all of you that's being fooled by him, and this is not attacking his character, this is knowing what that job entails as a prosecutor. Mm-hmm. All of you that are being fooled by him and think that you're gonna gain something from him, or think that he's the lesser of two evils, you better remember it's still evil attached to that. Mm-hmm. So we went to court 15 times, 10 months. That's the most school my son had ever missed. He hadn't been in trouble, but for maybe a minor thing or two throughout his 16 years of life at that time. But he missed more school that year than he missed in all the years that he went to school combined. We had the school officials who did not even contact me.
Mm-hmm.
The principal didn't contact me. Nobody from the school contacted me, but they had the right to protect my son because this happened during school hours.
Yes, they did.
And they did not fulfill their function to do that. They let a teacher send out send an email to 120 teachers on Hoover High's campus saying, why is my son allowed to be on that campus?
Mm.
They sent undercover police to the Valeros to watch and take pictures of my son after school. They had unidentified officials put my son in a room at Hoover and question him without my presence, without my knowledge. Mm. I had to take my son out of that school for fear for his safety. It could have ruined his entire life.
Yep.
By the grace of God and a mom that refused to let up, he graduated. And he graduated on time. So the charges were dismissed.
Mm.
After 10 months, 15 court dates, the charges were dismissed. But in you know, I really want to give a shout-out to Brother Centeno. I want to give a shout-out to the Dylan Noble family.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give a shout-out right now to Gloria Hernandez. I even want to give a shout-out right now to Stacey Williams.
Right.
And the biggest shout-out to Reverend Harris, because nobody was there for me. The day that I got in contact with Reverend Harris, Dyer was trying to meet with me, Hanson was trying to meet with me, and I really felt like I didn't have who I needed or representation that I needed to meet with them. So I'm calling around for help. Now, I've been in the community, like I said, 26 years, and nobody, when I let them know went on, offered to come in and be supportive and help. So I had to start calling around because I had so many people saying negative things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, your son deserved that. Oh, your son should kill himself. Oh, you're a horrible parent. You know, after the police beat him, when he got home, you should have beat him.
Mm.
You know, for stepping outside the line, it sounded like we was back with the slave code days
mm-hmm.
in the early 1700s, mm-hmm. late 1600s, early 1700s, where if you crossed the line, you could get killed, maimed,
mm.
beaten, chained up, tortured for crossing a line. He literally did not commit a crime and had his foot outside of a boundary.
Mm, mm, mm.
That's what this all stems from.
Mm.
Okay, so I'm calling around. I said, well, who do I go to? That's the first problem when we have these deaths and police brutality incidents, is who do we go to? That's usually the first thing we ask. We don't know who to go to, you know. So I'm calling around. I called the Center for Nonviolence, and they said, hey, your son was involved with the jaywalking incident, right? And I said, yes. And they said, well, there's a pastor, Floyd Harris, and he's holding a town hall meeting for your son tonight.
Mm.
And they said, do you want his number? And I said, yes. They said, do you know him? And I said, yeah, I've seen him, you know, on TV advocating and for, you know, police to be held accountable for a cop watch that he started. So I was familiar with him, and I knew that he spoke out against police brutality. But, you know, I didn't know how to reach him until I contacted the Center for Nonviolence. So the center, I called Floyd Harris, and ever since he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
This is not someone who just comes in. If he takes it on and he's invested in it, this is not someone who's just going to come in that day. He didn't get paid for anything. He's on TV because he's exposing and bringing things out. That's how you have to bring things out. You have to expose mm-hmm. things before anybody feels anything to do anything about something.
That's right.
So he was not only there for that, he came to the school and talked to the school officials. How are you going to put protections in place for her son? They had no answer. They said, we can't.
Mm.
If the police want to come in and get your son and take him in a room and interrogate him for hours, we don't have to contact you if they tell us not to.
Wow.
But this is a minor child.
Wow.
Now, you will send CPS to me if I discipline my child and put a bruise on.
Mm-hmm. Say it.
But you can torture and traumatize someone and with no accountability. So he is not a man that just will be there for the just the beginning or for some kind of clout or fame or 15 minutes of fame. He don't need that. He doesn't get paid for the work that he does. And he's knowledgeable. Well, a lot of people think he's not just doing this because he doesn't know. He understands the structure of the system. He understands the things that need to be put in place to dismantle that corrupt system. And he has the confidence, and he has the backing of the people to be able to pull off the job and to do the job well, to do it better than any of these mayors that we've had over the last few decades. I probably can go back longer than that. So he's been there ever since, and I admired that because no other pastor came and said, hey, do you need prayer? It was actually the opposite. The church I was going to, I had to stop going to, Valley Christian Center, who supported Dyer and brought him in and gave a whole brunch for him. I stopped attending that church.
Good Lord.
Because why would the church get in on some corruptness? They should lose. They should. Any of these churches that's back in Dyer, honestly, they should lose their nonprofit faith-based status. They should lose their 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna say that right now. Yeah. They should.
Mm-hmm.
So he came in and he was there. He put me in contact with the people not only that could help, but he also put me in contact with community people that offered this support. And that's why I gave those shout outs to the Dylan Noble family, because they had just lost their son in July. Mm-hmm. And this happened to my son in August. And their whole family was in pain. But yet, Reverend Harris organized everything where they all showed up to Juvenile Court to support me and my son.
Wow.
Dylan Noble's mom was comforting me when she needed comfort. They had just came from a protest for their loved one, but still found it in their heart to come and support me.
That's unity.
And in turn, I went out with Reverend Harris and others to support them. You know, and I wish I could have did it on a higher level, but when you're going through something like this, you go through depression. It's not one person that have had a loved one brutalized or killed that doesn't go through depression.
Amen.
And the depression lasts a while and it's deep.
Yeah.
you know, and nobody is around here to give help. Nothing is set up to get retribution for these officers and how they treat people and abuse people and kill people and what they do, you know. There's nothing, if you don't have money for a lawyer or somebody that's willing to take the case on because they feel it can go to the federal level and do it pro bono, then you have to just live with it. You know, we have an ACLU who said, hey, if your son gets those charges dismissed, then we'll come and you have a civil suit. But when I reached out to them, I got no response.
Wow.
After you tell me this, after we fight for 10 months, after we proved that this officer wrote up the report falsely, went into the hospital, and the arresting officer shouldn't have never been in that hospital room with my son. But you know what? If you don't have a certain kind of money, and if you're a certain color, your life doesn't matter to the people, the powers that be, that want to continue to gain wealth off the pain and of the poor.
Say that, sis. Say it.
So police accountability is huge, and it's definitely a problem that no other mayor is going to take on in this race but Floyd Harris.
All right then.
So let's talk about we were holding a town hall meeting, and Maria didn't even know we was having a meeting. And that's who I am, you know, is to care for the people. They did it again. Cut me off.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll get it back on. Brother Centennial.
Yes, sir.
You're still with us.
Yeah.
I think you remember when Sister Maria was going through the situation at Hoover High School. What are your thoughts about the police in Fresno? What do you think needs to happen to help retrain them? Is it leadership? Is it a mindset? Is it an ideology? Is it a cultural? What do you think we need here in Fresno to help our police department be a better police department for the officers and leadership?
I believe it starts at the top. As to me, it starts with the mayor. That's where it all flows down from the mayor. If the mayor can't have the police chief accountable for his officers, then, you know, to me, it starts with the mayor. And we never had a mayor that's ever had any of the police chiefs accountable for their officers. I have never heard of a single case of one single officer in Fresno ever been charged of not even brutality on a person. I mean, let's not even talk about killing. Not even about brutality on a person. So, I mean, it's accountability. I don't hate the cops. I do not hate the police. I still believe in police. But they have to be accountable for what they do. Just like in every other profession, you're accountable for what you do. Well, why is the police not being accountable? Nobody's, we all have to be accountable for what we do.
That's true.
Police not accountable? That's all. That's my main thing. Is to me, it's accountability. And to me, it starts with the main one here in Fresno with the mayor.
Right. Thank you. I just wanted to get your perspective on that. Maria, so there were a lot of attacks that happened to you. I believe one of them was the Ray Appleton show. which is a conservative radio show here in Fresno. And he said some pretty nasty things about you personally as a mother. He don't even know you. And that's been one of the pieces, even in slavery. You know, we call them niggers. We call them coons. We call them all these different labels to label someone to make them feel less than of who they are. And Ray Appleton went on his radio show, and we're going to talk about the Fresno Police Union, because we have to understand that the police union here in Fresno puts money up for people to run for office for their best interests. Not the people's interests, but their best interests here in Fresno. And so can you kind of rewind and take us back to that day when you listened to the Ray Appleton show after they have traumatized your son, after they have brutalized your son? We're talking about the Fresno Police Department on the first day of school. And how did that make you feel as a mother hearing someone say that?
The first thing it made me feel was like Ray Appleton is a racist coward. Because if I had been in Ray Appleton's face, you better believe he wouldn't have been saying the things he said, and it wouldn't have just got cheered on like they cheered it on the radio. So Ray Appleton is a racist coward. So Ray Appleton suggested that both the young men, both my son and the other young man, should have been tied to a tree and whipped.
Really?
The second thing that he referred, and he said he just, you know, really hated. I mean, he talked hate. He said hate maybe about 20 times in less than a 15-minute span. And then he also suggested that these boys should have been hung on a cross. So we're talking about teenagers, and we're talking about an officer who assaulted a teenage boy for stepping outside of a line.
And yet this man probably still has a show on the radio.
Oh, yes.
I have no doubt he is still on the air here in Fresno, California.
Oh, yes. They love Ray Appleton here. They love him here. Mainstream media loves Ray Appleton because he has a big following, because the mindset is that if you are a person of color, then you are easy target.
Let him go.
We're just playing the video again for those of you who just tuned in. This is Maria's son, first day of school at Hoover High School. You see the police officer choking him with his own backpack. This is the part we talk about treating people with dignity and respect.
What did he do?
People are tired of getting brutalized and getting having their children be brutalized. It's enough already.
But also something else that Sister Maria touched on when she said that they allowed the police department to come in to the school, talk to her son when they felt like it, and the school district saying, well, if the police want to come in, we can't stop them. Of course you can.
Yes.
There is no law that says you, as a school district, have to allow them in there.
That boy's civil rights.
You chose
violated.
To do that. You
That's
violated
right.
his civil rights.
That's right.
And in that same year, the ACLU, you know, they will take on certain things. That's not my son's case. The ACLU brought a complaint against Fresno Unified for misappropriating funds and basically helped getting that spot shooter set up and also to have the officers on the campuses in schools. So, you know, you'll take money from that was supposed to be for youth of color, low-performing youth, and you would use it to put a spot shooter up that don't even stop murders from happening?
And those murders could be affecting black and brown people of color. This is what Rhea was talking about when he said, you use our own tax dollars to kill us. You use our own tax dollars to kill us. You're against us in this way. Fresno, wake up. The time is now. Change has got to come before there's going to be rioting in the streets. And I don't say this because I am pro-violence. I am a peaceful person. But there is an end point to this. You only have a democracy. You only have a republic if you are strong enough to defend it. And we have to be strong enough to defend our democracy. And as taxpayers, we have a right to demand better. And Fresno has reneged and not delivered on what it has promised its citizens. So
that one right there, people, that one right there.
And the cost is cost taxpayers money just to prosecute, to settle out some of these cases.
Absolutely.
So that's money right there, you know, going to settle cases, $17 million just for Jerry Dyer and probably, you know, quite more for other officers
well
in their
said.
Conduct.
Well,
so one of the things we're going to say, we get ready to wrap up the show. Elson, Tina, I want to thank you for calling in, and we're going to keep standing with you until justice is served, till the family is served about your brother. I just want to say and just put this out there that, you know, when we get elected, we're going to make sure that the entire community has say-so on the picking of the next chief of police. I want youth at the table. I want elders at the table. We want everyday people at the table. It's not going to be business as usual where the mayor office and the city managers choose who they want to choose. Mm-hmm. You know, we want the community to come up with the requirements of what they want the chief of police to be here in their city. See, this is the people's city. This is not the mayor's city. This is not the city council city. You're supposed to be servants to the people. And so that's the piece that we're talking about, is that it's all hands on deck. And we want to make sure that every voice is being heard. We want to make sure that the community come up with the criteria. And we can choose a good police chief that can serve this community from the smallest to the tallest, from the lightest to the darkest. That's not asking a whole lot. We have to change the way business is being done in this city. We're wasting too much money, too many lawsuits, too many killings in the city of Fresno. And so we just want to make sure that everybody understands that we want a healthy city, period. And I just don't understand why is that so hard. Listen, it's not police officers' jobs to be mentoring our children. That's parents' jobs to do that, you know. And I just get sick and tired of watching, you know, coming in with bounce houses and hot dogs, manipulating. Give that money and resources to the people that's on the ground in the community to work with their neighbors, right? Because the majority of the police don't even live in our community. They live up in the mountains somewhere.
Yeah.
And they drive here every day, okay? So they just want to get paid and suck the resources and suck the monies out of our community. But we just want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you for my brother over here with the podcast. And he'll be uploading it, and we'll be sending it out to everybody. And so we just want to say thank you to everybody.
Yes, indeed.